Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. I want to welcome everyone to Radio for Your Mind. And I don't know, if you follow me on Facebook, you know I had one heck of a weekend. I just finished celebrating 23 wonderful years with my wife. And you know, it's funny because when we actually look at our life together, we started dating at 16. We didn't get married until 22, and that was partially because I scared her off. I told her I wanted her barefoot and pregnant, and she didn't like that idea at 16. Now, later, she loved the idea and ended up writing a bunch of romance stories about it and gave me six wonderful kids and five granddaughters. And I tell you, this weekend was just great as we sat back and realized that we have been married half of our lives, not our adult lives, but literally half of our lives. I've been with this woman more than I've been with any other woman in my life, and I'm talking about my mom. You know, and when you look at that, you think, I thought of Elisa's book, actually, as I was thinking of this, because I thought, man, if I would have let fear get in the way, and I would have decided, okay, I'm not going to try a second time or a third time or a fourth time, had Paige let fear get in the way in the early years when I just acted like a real ass, I can't even think of another word to use, we wouldn't have made it as long as we have. And as I sat here and I analyzed it over the weekend, I thought, man, this chapter is great because it's called Breakthrough Self-Limiting Beliefs That Prevent Your Success. Now, I know a lot of people in direct self, matter of fact, just a lot of people in the world, they don't think that their beliefs have anything to do with things because they don't even understand their beliefs. See, we grow up in society, wherever we're at, and that's just what we think is our reality. Well, it is our reality, but we think it's normal. We think it's okay. We think we can't get out of it. And we become victims of that upbringing. A few years ago, about 2 years ago, my uncle passed away. He was my favorite uncle. And within just, matter of fact, within 7 days of his passing away, my aunt, his sister, passes away. This leaves my mom, who was one of three siblings. Now, she had some half-brothers and sisters. But within a week's period of time, she lost her little brother and her little sister. Left her by herself. Now, my mom's a pretty fearless person these days, but boy, I spent hours on the phone with her as she faced her mortality and realized that she had some limiting beliefs, and she broke through those. It was great to see it at age 70, what she was able to do. It was also neat to see how she rallied around her family, but I shot a series of videos during that time period that most people have never seen. They're private, and I share some events that happened in my life because of my uncle. And my uncle was a tough old boy. He used to do some freelance work for organized crime. I put all this in the video of what he's done and what he didn't do. And one of the things that I analyzed during this time period as I was looking at my family is how their limiting beliefs held them back in life. My uncle could have done a lot of great things as just a normal, everyday individual. My cousins could have done great things as normal individuals, but they let the limiting beliefs, they let the fact that we were all born on the wrong side of the tracks take control. And even the ones that we would call entrepreneurish didn't do things right. They're drug dealers and professional torches, I mean, all bad stuff, not good stuff. And as I sat here reading Lisa's book, I thought, how many people in life, they go through believing this is all they can do, believing that this is what I was meant to do, looking at all the cool movies, looking at all those stories in Fortune and Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine, reading the success stories of rags to riches and saying, yeah, it always happens to somebody else, not me. And as I read this chapter, it blew my mind. Here's the first thing Lisa writes in this chapter. You do have control over what you believe. Beliefs are like jackets. If one doesn't fit you, you can take it off and put one that suits you better. But first you must identify and admit your negative beliefs and the fear they represent. Now, I've got a friend of mine that I've met, and I've known of him for years, but just the last few months we've kind of connected and, man, really building a friendship. And one of the conversations I had with him the other day, he was telling me what he was up to these days and stuff that he's doing, and I said, well, man, when did you finally realize, you know, what it is that you're good at compared to what you were doing? And I don't remember his answer because we were so excited about what his new projects are. But along the way, my friend realized that he's a visionary. He can take and take your vision or his vision, and he can explode it. And I've already seen him do this in my life. He can explode that vision to where everyone wins and everyone makes money. But what he's not good at and what he doesn't have a passion for is the operations of these businesses. He'd rather bring somebody in to take care of that. Well, see, most people don't even realize that is a limiting belief. A lot of people believe, well, I got to operate everything. I got to be the stud. I got to be the stud ad. I got to be in control. This actual person realized, dude, that isn't my strength. I need to focus on my strengths. And he went after his dream in a different way. What Lisa's talking about here is the same thing. We don't have to just live the life that somebody told us we had to live. We don't have to accept the fact that people say, well, you're born on the wrong side of the tracks. Listen to what else she writes in here. You are not alone in facing the challenge. All people on the road to success have to face their negative belief system. The successful person has just simply learned that the only thing keeping them from achieving their goals is what they choose to believe and what they choose to think. The core message of this book, listen, she's so profound. And here's a gal that's got like a doctorate or a master's in psychology. She's got this deep theological understanding, and she writes stuff so you and I can understand it. She says, only you have control over your thoughts and your beliefs. When you choose to adopt an empowering belief system and transform your way of thinking, you have mastered the combination of lifelong success. I sat there and looked at that and thought, wow, how many people go out in the world today and they let other people control their thoughts? They let other people control their belief systems. Folks, if you don't believe me, let's just go back to the 80s. There was this highfalutin, motivational, charismatic guy named Jim Jones. Started out just a little country preacher, and by the time he got done, he took a bunch of people overseas, had them drink Kool-Aid in the name of God, and killed them. People drink the Kool-Aid based on what they let other people believe. I mean, what they believe other people are saying. You cannot do that. Questioning is not a bad thing. And when you question yourself and you ask the right questions, which is the key, all of a sudden the sky becomes the limit on where you can go and what you can do. Here's the seventh truth about conquering fear that Lisa puts in this book. Change your beliefs and you change your behaviors. Change your behaviors and you change your results. Change your results and you change your life. Folks, this is the thing, and you guys have heard me say this. It's redundant. I know you hate it probably, but listen. The whole problem with law of attraction is that it's not taught correctly. It's taught like one of these old charismatic name it and claim it type deals. Okay, you just can't think about change. You got to get off your doggone butt and you got to go do something. You know, I'm living right now in one of the most catastrophic man-made events in the history of the world, the BP oil spill. And there's a lot of things can be said negative about BP, and we're not going to get into that or the political turmoil or fallout of all this. But I'll tell you one thing that BP never stopped doing, and that was figuring out a way to plug this hole. And they kept trying everything they could try. And they made the mistake. They stepped up to the plate, said, it's our fault. We take full responsibility of it. And they started working and working and working. And finally, it was a good old plumber down in, I think it was South Florida, that said, you know, if you build this thing like a fire hydrant, I think you'll be all right. And sure enough, they weren't expecting to plug this until August, and they plugged it in July. Matter of fact, it's hard to even find oil right now, and that's a whole nother deal I'm not going to get into. But the whole thing here is they did not say, well, I hope we can figure out a way, and then sit back and do nothing. They put their actions out there, and they asked other people for help. They surrounded themselves, and they did some stuff. Sure, they made mistakes, but it's funny how when you're out there making mistakes, people want to take pot shots at you. But if you don't let your limiting beliefs hold you back, the sky's the limit. Listen to what Lisa says here. I knew it was imperative for me to begin changing my beliefs about success. I had to attach positive connotations to being successful. I posted the quote, money gives you choices. Now, I bet some of you are thinking, oh, well, she thinks money means success. See, that was what I thought at first. I thought, now, where the heck is she going with this? Watch this. I thought of every example I knew of successful people helping others and using their success for the power of good. I posted a personal quote that I begin living my life by as a simple principle. Change your beliefs, you change your behavior. Change your behavior, you change your results. Change your results, you change your life. Now, this is where it gets good. I completed the breakthrough that I'd began in Bermuda, and that was when she was down there with Randy Gage, and was in the following exercise. I made a poster showing pictures of the positive connotations I could think of the concept success. See, success is a concept. See, a lot of people do think that success means money, and it's because they haven't broken through their limiting beliefs. Nothing wrong with money. Money's just the vehicle, though. It's just the tool. If you talk to any successful person that you know at any level in life, you're going to find out very quickly, unless they're just a superficial person that's getting ready to lose it all, it isn't about the money. Watch what she goes on to write here. I made a poster showing pictures of all the positive connotations I could think of the concept success. I could help my church spread the gospel. I could help an aspiring speaker. I could travel with my family, teach my children about different cultures. The one possibility that stirred me the most, this is what we call her why, was I could treat my mom to a vacation in Hawaii, just the two of us. See, it wasn't about the money. It was the fact that money does give you choices. I've got a good friend of mine that over the last 30 years has been earning about $1 million a year in network marketing. Not one of the biggest, not one of the smallest. But the one thing that he taught me was, Troy, when you get there, it's better than you ever dreamed. And you don't have to get up in the mornings and say, honey, what do I need to get done today? You're able to get up in the mornings, have a fresh cup of coffee, and look at your bride and say, honey, what do you want to do today? See, that's what choices are. That's what success is. You get to decide what you want to do. Listen to what she says. When I begin to change the beliefs and attach positive connotations to my goal of being a successful speaker, my career soared. And she goes on and she says, I was able to give money to my church to put in some cappuccino machines for the college people. I was able to send some anonymous money to some other people. I was able to do all this, but then she writes this, but the best feeling of all was wearing the outfit that she had hung outside her closet door for so long that she was going to wear on the plane when she went to Hawaii and spend 5 incredible days with my mom in Hawaii. See, that's what drove her. That's what continues to drive her today. Lisa is one of the most family-oriented people you'll ever see. What made the difference? How did I change my life so soon, she writes? Quite simply, I changed my beliefs, which transformed my way of thinking. My procrastination, sabotage, worry, and other behaviors were signs of my negative belief. Let me put this in a little bit closer to home. I went to Alabama a couple weeks ago. I have to go every other weekend, to be quite honest, because I'm in the middle of trying to get custody of my granddaughter. My son, who most of you have followed me know, is sitting in prison in Colorado, and his wife, who is also kind of followed around in his footsteps, is serving 5 years in the state of Florida. And that left my grandbaby up with a custodian that wasn't a family member. So we went up a few months ago to petition the court to let us have our grandbaby until these parents can get on their feet and get their act together, if ever. And everything looked like it was going to go smooth, except I'm dealing with an Alabama court system. So very quickly, a lot of things transpired. They decided they didn't want to just turn the baby over to the paternal grandparents. They wanted us to build a relationship with her, which I'm pretty cool with. So every other weekend, we invest a substantial amount of money to go to northern Alabama where there is nothing to do except play with our kids and play with the baby, which really is fun. But last weekend, we got back home, and we had another letter. Now another relative wants to intervene, somebody that was given the opportunity to do this at the very beginning. As I looked at that and I watched tears well up in Paige's eyes, she said, honey, this baby could be 3 before this is over, and she needs to bond with somebody. My limiting beliefs wanted to take over, I'll be quite honest with you. I'm sitting there trying to add up in math how much I've already had to spend on the attorney, how much more has got to go to the attorney, how much more it's going to be invested on a weekend basis, what more can I do during the week to increase the cash flow. Paige has already got 3 new books she's writing, so it's not like she can do any more. And then all of a sudden, one of those that you get, because you're going to have this. I don't care when you get rid of your limiting beliefs. You're always going to have a ping that comes up. But then I started sitting down thinking, you know what? I went into this knowing this is what the right thing to do was. The rest of this stuff just doesn't matter. See, and you keep focused on the outcome, and the outcome is to make sure whatever is supposed to happen to this young little baby, it happens, and that she knows family loves her. Well, see, the same thing's going to ring true in other aspects of your life. Whatever it is you're doing, you've got to break through those old limiting beliefs. They're going to be there, but you've got to be able to crack them, and the only way to do that and replace them is to have a new belief that's stronger that will take over. Boom. Here's some things that Lisa writes on getting rid of those old beliefs, those old connotations that we put up there. And some of these I went through in my mind. That's why I wanted to share quickly that little story. Listen to this. An old belief, there's not enough time. And I'm thinking, man, how in the heck am I supposed to raise, you know, the $1,000 or so I need a weekend to be able to travel up there and pay the attorney? New belief, God in his infinite wisdom made 24 hours enough time. So I figured I got 24 hours a day. Something's going to work. And Lisa writes, there's enough time to do what you really want to do. People who prioritize learn to say no, have clear goals, and find enough time to get the most important things accomplished. Well, you know what? I've done just that over the last couple, 3 months. I've wiped out a lot of crap that just doesn't matter. And I'm focusing my time in on exactly what I'm supposed to be focusing it in on, family and serving others. That's the key right there. Here's another old belief. I work better under pressure. Now, I used to have that one. This one I don't have anymore. But here's what she writes. I work best when allowed suitable time to complete the tasks. You know what? That's exactly what's happening in life. And if you look at yourself, whether it's at work or in your career, you'll see the same thing. Lisa writes, you may believe your work quality is enhanced when you're motivated by pressure. However, it could be you are addicted to the rush that comes from working and living like this. Think about that. How much better could your work be? You know, my friend that I talked to you about a minute ago. If he was still out there trying to operate his business instead of taking the visions that he has or that others have and build those up, you know, he wouldn't be making the kind of money that he'll be making this next year. He'd still be trying to operate from scarcity mentality. Oh, my gosh, we got to make this happen. What are we going to do? Instead, he goes out there and offers his services to people. That just stokes me. I watch him serve people so much, it's pathetic. Number 3, old belief. There's always something. Now, I scratched my head on that one for a minute. Always something. What does she mean? Then she writes, there's a solution to every problem. And I thought, oh, man, yeah, there's always something coming up. And, you know, I started thinking back to my court case, and I thought, man, what's next? What's next? And then I thought, you know what? There's always a solution to every problem. I don't have to worry about this. You know, when I decided, when I sat down with Paige and we prayed and we said, do we want to enter into this? Because this doesn't have, you know, an ending that we're going to understand maybe. We both looked at each other and said, you know what, though, one of these days that baby girl is going to grow up. And whether we ever got custody of her or not, she would never be able to come back and say, you didn't try to fight for me. And that's really what it's about right there. It's not about what the outcome may be. I don't have control over that. But I do have control over my limiting beliefs and the fact that we're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that the best happens for this little baby girl. See, that's the key to it. Number 4, this is the old belief. Anything worth doing is worth doing perfectly. Lord knows I'm not, that one's never been one of my issues, but here's the new one, and you may have this. Anything worth doing is worth failing forward until I get it right. Now, that I believe in. See, one of the things, I'm going to be putting up an interview with Derek Brose, the founder of Revolution, here this week, and one of the things that we talk about is how many times we've learned from our mistakes. And see, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. I had an email come in from a CEO over the weekend. He said, Troy, you posted a video, and there's one little thing up there that you told me would be off the record. Sure enough, I went back and looked at my notes. I'd read them wrong when I shot the video. I apologized and said, I'll reshoot it on Monday morning. We'll get that down and get a new one up. I made a mistake. I didn't hem-haw around about it. I didn't try to pretend it wasn't my fault. Dude, I apologize. Let me correct my error. Plain and simple. See, that's what it's about right there. You've got to understand, you're going to fail forward. You know, I didn't stay married to Paige for 23 years because our marriage was perfect. I screw it up all the time. That's just, things happen, okay? You got to move forward. You got to make it happen. Belief number five. People won't like me. Well, let me tell you something. My daughters better say no a whole heck of a lot, and I don't care if people like them or not. The new belief, when I say no to some opportunities, I can say yes to better ones. One of my, just a good friend of mine, somebody that's he's a pastor of a church out of Atlanta. His name's Andy Stanley, and he's got a teaching that he does, and he talks about spinning plates because he's a juggler. He said, you know, you can spin about three plates at a time. You get into anything else like that, and one of those plates eventually is going to fall and break. When I read what Lisa wrote in here, I thought, man, isn't that the truth? When I say no to some opportunities, I can say yes to better ones. She says, one of the first words that we all learn is no. Use the word often in childhood because it gives you power. The word still holds power for you in adulthood. It can keep you safe by allowing you to decline a proposition that you know is not in your best interest. Over the last couple, 3 months, I've had some propositions come my way, and I've turned them down. I thought, no, I can't do that. No, not going to do that. A couple of them have looked very good, and I thought, no, I just can't do that. And the last couple of weeks, I've been pondering a question, and I put the question out there publicly, and as I did, I started to have a vision pop up. Last week, my friend that I was talking about sent me some text messages over that just added to that vision a little bit more. I shot an email over to a couple of CEO buddies of mine, and they said, Troy, you could pull that off. That would work. That's something that could be done here. I talked to another one. He said, would you just hurry up and figure out what you're going to do so I can write you a check? See, when you sit there and you say no to something in order to say yes to something else, all of a sudden your creativity, if you get rid of the old beliefs and you're asking the right questions, literally the sky's the limit on where you can take it. But you can't do it as a lone ranger. You can't do it under the fear that, oh, I might fail. You've got to be able to move outside the comfort zone. You've got to work it. This is not, guys, this is hard. It's going to be painful, and it's going to suck. I'm going to tell you that right now. Plain and simple. Anytime you stretch beyond your comfort zone, anytime you take those muscles and you pull them in a different direction, there's going to be some pain attached. I learned in the Marine Corps that pain is good. If you work through the pain to the other side, it makes you stronger, tighter, more fit. You're able to help more people. You're able to accomplish more. That's the key to it, and that's where we're going with this, conquering fear. You need to go to rx-success.com. That's rx-success.com. Get Lisa's book. It's powerful stuff here. Here's what else she writes on this. Using the word no keeps you dedicated to your commitments when tempted by the lure of getting off course. You say no to the temptation and stay on track. When you respect the word no, allow yourself and others to use it, you discover freedom. This isn't just in work, it's also in relationships. You know, I put up a song today. A lot of you guys know I just love putting up motivational music, good, bad, ugly. Sometimes some people got to reach out to me and say, give us something for our office, so I do that too. But I put up a song today. It's an edgy song. It's by Meatloaf. You know, I Would Do Anything was the name of it. Actually, it was I Will Do Anything for Love, but I won't do that. One of the things that has kept Paige and I's marriage strong over the years is, one, I knew she was my soulmate. I didn't want to ever do anything to lose her. I almost did that early on when I was dumb and young. The other thing we said is that I would never, ever have an affair on her. Not because I couldn't. I mean, I'm a blue-blooded American. There's some beautiful women out there. But I've purposely done everything I could to stay out of a situation that could lead to that, or people could think that. I don't go around in my car and take women on drives, even if they're good friends of mine that I've known, you know, over the years. I'm very cautious about what I say. I'm very cautious of what it might look like. I've got videos and pictures of people at MLM conventions when their wives were at home. And just looking at the videos are questionable. It makes you wonder what was going on. Probably nothing, but it makes you wonder. I never wanted to go into that. Every time I go on a large business trip, I've taken Dalton with me. If I couldn't take Dalton with me, I made sure that I was in and out of that town. And I would get in on a red-eye flight, and I would do my job, and I'd get out on a red-eye flight. I never stayed in a location. Not because I was fearful, but because I never wanted it to look like there was an affair. I wanted her to know I wanted to be in her bed every night that I could be. When you look at saying no, you say no to anything that's going to take away from what your vision is. And my vision was to be married to her for eternity. So you have to know where your limits are. You've got to work through them. You've got to ask the right questions. Old belief number 6, successful people are always busy. You know what? This is one of the things that just burns my butt in MLM, is the contradictory statements that are made about be in business for yourself, control your time, spend time with your family, enjoy the fun, live the lifestyle, and then you turn right around and hear them telling you in training, man, you better bust your butt. You got to work yourself to death. You got to be on the phones constantly, be on the training calls every night, work on Saturday mornings. I mean, it's no wonder people get stagnant and they don't get to the level of success that they desire. Listen to what Lisa writes. Successful people live a life they love and are at peace with. Successful people live a life that they love and are at peace with. Man, if you're part-time in this business and you can only work 4 hours a week, pick those 4 hours that you know you want to invest in, and you give it all you've got. If you're one of these people that don't have a family like Corey Citron for so many years, single, young stud, running around in the world, bust your butt, work 24/7, I don't care. If you're Troy Dooley, you're going to work in the mornings, do a radio show. You're going to get some stuff done during the daytime. You're going to go swimming. You're going to see what mama wants done. You're going to shoot some videos with some people. Come about 5, 6 o'clock, you're going to shut it down, go in, spend a little bit of time with the family. Then eventually you'll probably get over on Facebook and fiddle fart around with stuff, put up a couple of hot-powered songs for all those wild guys working later in the evening. But you build that family time in there. You're able to take off and go fight for custody of your grandbaby. See, this is about living the life you want. Listen to what she writes here. Every morning, you watch this woman in a business suit dash into your local Starbucks for a morning double espresso cappuccino. Her cell phone rings continuously as she waits impatiently for her legal stimulant. After tossing in a few sugar packets and stirring feverishly, she frantically runs to her car to attend her busy life. Let me tell you about CEOs in MLM, in any company, to be quite honest. I made a phone call the other day and said, Derek, could I schedule a little bit of time with you to talk to you about a project, see what if I get your input? He says, yeah, man. So I call him up and say, I only want to take about 30 minutes of your time. And you know what he says? Dude, take all the time you want. I got time for you. I allotted it. See, that's the key. CEOs build margin into their life. They're not busy. Successful people aren't overly busy. Old belief number 7. If you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. The new belief. If you want something done right, give it to the one who can do it best. You know, I was talking earlier about my friend who's a visionary. Man, he puts the creative juices to it, but he don't care about operations. He hires somebody to do the operations for him. He says, forget this crap. I'm going to do what's going to make me the most money, it's going to make me the most fulfilled, and it's going to help the most people. Folks, that's the key to life. That's the key to overconquering these fears. Tomorrow, I'm excited. We're going to be creating your powerful belief system. We're going to dig deep into the core to help you start to change, but we can't do it in 30 minutes. You got to go buy this book, Conquer Fear, by Lisa Jimenez. I'm telling you, it's powerful. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.